Wait a minute, wait a turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope you got in tune. He talking bigger business. He make a lot of moves. He talking Scott Catoon. I'm saying, wait a minute.
Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and this is TechNori Live from WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Joining me this rainy, dreary Chicago day is co-founder of Upfront Healthcare. It is co-founder. Are you the CEO?
I am, yes.
Yep, CEO and co-founder, Ben Albert. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So before we get into the nuts and bolts of this, why don't you tell us a little bit about what Upfront Healthcare is and does, and then we'll kind of break into how you got into this, your story, the company's growth, and so on and so forth.
Sure, no problem. So before I dive into exactly what we do, I'll set the table a little bit with how the problem we're solving. So today, as it's well documented, there's a physician shortage, and many of the programs out of DC are trying to drive more and more visits to the physician practice setting to help keep patients out of the hospital and keep medical costs under control. And so it has done a nice job of driving more and more volume to the physician practice. But the physician practice payments are not growing along with the volume. So trying to keep the physician practice efficient and running at scale has proven to be very challenging. And so what Upfront Healthcare is doing to address that problem is making sure that all visits are valuable for both the physician organization that's supporting the medical office as well as the patient themselves. Because today it takes on average 24 days to get in to see a doctor. And in fact, and then even no-shows when you're more than 2 weeks out scheduled are 50% greater. So as a result, we're really inefficient with how we're approaching managing this problem. And Upfront does the work to make those visits efficient.
So how did you personally get into this? Because I feel like you have an MBA from UIC, so it doesn't, you know, like you did not come into this from the doctor who was losing patients. It would appear maybe you did and I just didn't see it.
No.
I used to say, you're very young looking, so I was going to say, you're quite accomplished from an academic standpoint if you've had multiple careers here, but how did you get into this?
So I've been in healthcare technology and services more or less my whole career. And prior to starting Upfront Healthcare, I had started a company called Care Team Connect. And Care Team Connect was a care management platform for population health, which was essentially in support of some of the initiatives out of Washington, D.C. to make, you know, care more value-based. And through that, I came to that business because my grandfather had had a couple of strokes, and I was seeing his care fall apart around him in between the visits. There was no one managing his care. And so ultimately it led to a lot of unnecessary admissions to the hospital and things of that nature. So it compelled me to start Care Team Connect to make care management between the visits much more efficient and effective. So that set me on this path. And ultimately, that company had some success and was acquired by the advisory board company, where population health became a big thing to make sure providers were managing the care of the entire population at scale. And so that's how I got into this. And then through that experience, recognizing that you can't manage an entire population at scale if there's no access to physician visits.
Yeah.
And so how do we solve the access to the physician visit by making them efficient and so that patients can get in when they need to get in?
So walk us through a little bit like how that actually works out. Because like I'll use examples like, you know, my father, he had a couple of episodes that seemed like he might have a heart, you know, thing going on. And he, long story short, this is a stupid story. Mm-hmm. You know, I trust that like a person, when you have issues, you're going to like take care of it on your own and like be responsible about it. And as it turns out, the average person, I'm not just saying this about my dad, like I'm like this too. The average person doesn't do that. I feel like they want the best answers, not the best results necessarily. And so they start looking for anything. Mm-hmm. So it turned out that the person who was advising him on the heart was like a general practitioner. It wasn't even a cardiologist.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, what the hell are you doing? So then I reach out to Dr. Buffalino, who is one of the top cardiologists in the state of Illinois. And I went to school with his son. And I was like, you know, it's like 3 or 4 months in order to get in there. And luckily, because of the friendship, we were able to jump ahead of that.
Yeah.
And of course, I stayed on my dad's, you know, heels to make sure that he didn't miss it. But the average person, I feel like, would have no understanding of like if somebody called and said, you can see the best and we accept your healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be 3 months. You're like, like I might die tomorrow. I have no idea.
Right,
like,
right.
How do you, they would just hang up and go somewhere else until they find somebody. And by then, you know, I'm spitballing here, but as like a heart doctor, I'm guessing that I don't want the guy who's like has an open door policy with like no one, no patients. Right. So you've got to figure out somewhere in between. How did you actually walk a patient through this process?
That's a good question, and it's complicated.
Somewhere in there.
No, it's complicated because in that question, buried in that question is what does the patient really need as for their visit, and what is the provider able to, you know, provide, essentially, what's that clinician able to provide? And so the way we go about this is we use data and analytics to identify which patients need to be seen as quickly as possible and which can be seen with what's called an advanced practice clinician or a non-physician resource. And through that, we help really identify how to get those patients that need to get in, like your dad in this case, much faster by clearing up some of the visits that that same physician may have been seeing that could have been seen by a non-physician resource, like a follow-up care.
Yes, and I feel like that's a major, I mean, that's a, it's a great point. It's a huge problem. It's funny, I never thought about this until right now with you in front of me, but it's it is very true that you think about how many, and of course there's questions around like the healthcare and how payment is done and other stuff, but it's crazy how many doctors are going through patients who they really don't need to see. You know what I mean? Like it's not something that is important that that a doctor of Dr. Buffalino's background and so forth needs to handle a basic checkup. It's just not necessary. Get the reports to him so you can oversee it later. A way to just clean out a lot of the things that they don't need to be doing would be a much better use of their time.
Exactly. And so health systems are investing in a lot of these resources, whether they're telehealth resources or advanced practice clinician resources or even walk-in clinics to support the entire population. But when you think about calling to schedule an appointment, the people on the other end of the phone or even the web-based scheduling system has no idea who you should be seeing amongst that strata of opportunities for you. And so you're just getting booked with that cardiologist in this case 4 months out when in fact, in that case, you may have needed to still see the cardiologist, but there are other patients that the cardiologist is seeing that could be going to the walk-in clinic or going to see an advanced practice clinician to free up the slot. So we do those analytics to identify which visits make it way more efficient.
So you're pairing people better, sharper, faster, more efficiently. When it comes down to eliminating the 50% drop-off of people who maybe scheduled something 3 months out and then no-show, how are you working with the doctors to eliminate or to reduce the no-show, or is that not a main focus?
It's part of it. It's absolutely part of it. And by accelerating a visit, so if I am scheduled to see a physician in 6 weeks, let's say, and I can get an option or a text from our service that tells me, you can see the physician's partner, advanced practice clinician, in 4 days. Would you like to come in and see that? You know, the results are excellent and the physician will be notified if there's any issue that needs their attention. Most people take that option.
Yeah.
So then I say, yes, I'll take that earlier appointment, and that frees up the physician appointment for someone else who really needs to get in to see the physician. I get my needs met faster because I can get in sooner and get better quicker, and everybody wins.
Yeah.
And so that's how we solve the no-show. And when you accelerate the visit, there's less time to lag between the time the appointment's scheduled and the time that the patient actually shows up, less time for them to go somewhere else to get their care needs met. And oftentimes they don't call back.
And I was just going to say, and not that you need any validation here, but just as another little short anecdote to make it even, because I don't want to just pick on my dad. I also am a buffoon when it comes to like my own healthcare. So I was going to see a chiropractor, and this has happened multiple times throughout my life. While we're on like the week to week, the bye week to bye week, I'm good. I'm like, I'm a committed helper. I'm going to be there on time. I do all the things. It's when you start to stretch out to like that 1.5 to 2 month, 3 month, we'll see you next month type of stuff. I start blowing off those meetings so quickly. And then I'm like, before long, it's like 2 months go by and I'm gone and I got to go find a new person because I pissed everyone off. But I guess it goes to like the psyche. Like you just, there's something about seeing a person regularly, or at least let's say you've got some sort of therapy, or I don't have something that's like a checkup. I have a thing that I'm doing with a doctor. There's a long procedure going on. If you don't get people in early enough and often enough to where they feel like they're seeing progress and they're on a routine, I just think it's in your natural thought process to just sort of like cut that off because it's like, I got better stuff to do. I don't want to do that.
You know, sure. And part of that's making sure the patient's guided through their care as well. So for the example that we solve for in that particular type of case is when a patient is in some sort of care program and they needed a test done, some sort of clinical test done before a visit. So let's say they were having headaches and they needed a CT scan before they showed up for the visit. In order to make that visit really valuable, so the physician actually review the scan, review it with the patient, and make some determinations about the path forward. If that patient shows up without that test done or hasn't done the work, like in the chiropractic example, which I can relate to, by the way.
Like to your point you're making right now, it's in your this is like a perfect example. Having someone guide you along, like for example, the chiropractor had a person who worked for him who would call, right, and say, like, are you still on your schedule? I heard her voice every week. Are you on for Monday? Are you on for Monday? That was, even though it's subtle, it was still guidance. Did you have any slip and falls? Did you have anything that we should know about or notate? It made me be sort of invested in this thing. And the minute you stretch it out for a long period of time, or you tell me, hey, listen, you know, we've got to bump you or whatever, I don't hear from you for 3 weeks. You're dead to me, like, literally.
Right. And the only difference here is that in most of these visits, the patients are engaged. They're waiting a long time to get in to see this person. And if they showed up, they drove a long way, or they've been waiting a long time, and they showed up without the information that's needed, that creates a revisit. Now it's compounding the access problem and forcing them to have to come back, go get a test.
And that has to be super common. The revisit has got to be, I mean,
it's common. We call it an empty visit that leads to a revisit because the visit wasn't appropriately prepped. The patient either didn't know they need the test or they didn't actually get the test done. And the physician office didn't do a great job of making sure that they had it done when they could have freed up that visit, and the patient would have saved time as well by making it much more efficient coming in.
And so, on the physician side, what is your platform doing to sort of make it so that these empty visits are maybe less frequent?
Sure. So we do analytics off of their schedules. We start by looking 2 years back and identifying where there are opportunities where tests weren't done, for example, or where they could have seen certain visits with a nurse practitioner as opposed to a physician. We identify where those things could happen, and we look for the patterns in the data. And then on a go-forward schedule basis, we pick out the visits that actually meet that criteria and then offer those visits to the patient faster with an APC or an advanced practice clinician, for example. That's one example. Or we identify which orders needed to have the test done before the upcoming visit, because those are high-value tests to the patient and the provider, to the visit as a whole, and we make sure that that's done. But we look at the historical data to identify where the greatest opportunities are. We apply those findings going forward to pick out the right visits to make sure they get optimized.
So on more of a sort of the business side of things, when you refer to these analytics and you're looking 2 years back and auditing sort of where opportunities were and missed and met, is this something that you've got kind of an AI thing going on with, or is this something where you've got humans who are actually like sifting through these things, or some kind of combination of both?
There's no way a human could actually look at this. If you think about
it. I figured you had a ton of data that was coming to at least create some sort of a profile. Is there a human anywhere in this?
Yeah, yes, there are. And we have some very skilled humans, as a matter of fact, who look at the information. We do have the best humans. But when you look at the way these businesses are run from an ambulatory or a physician practice, they sign multiple contracts with health plans that dictate their payment. They have incentive agreements with other health plans. And then they have patient-specific dynamics. So the ability for someone to actually look at the data without using some machine learning or advanced analytic capabilities and identify where these opportunities are is just not there. You need the technology to be able to identify the opportunities. And then you need the capability to solve the problem, as opposed to just pointing out that there's a problem through the analytics.
So you've gotten to this point. You've got, the big question I think always comes in is, like, it's easy to, well, it's not easy, but it's understandable to use efficiency as sort of the judgment or the KPI, if you will. It's like what's improving for physicians and for the people, the patients. How do you determine in that efficiency the amount of money being saved, and who's the one saving it? Both, I assume.
Yeah, and it's time and money, but there has to be, in healthcare, in most solutions, there needs to be a hard ROI. So there's a lot of soft things you can do that are valuable to patients and providers. But when we say efficiency, we're actually creating more value in every visit. When you move a physician to the top of his or her license, you're actually also driving more efficient visits across the entire spectrum.
Sure. Yeah.
And so then there's a measurable improvement to clinical, operational, and financial metrics that we track on behalf of our clients. and that it's irrefutable. I mean, we're seeing 30% gains from a margin perspective for our clients as a result of the work.
Well, you have to imagine. I mean, you've got the doctors working on the things that they're at their highest billable and that they're at their prime, like, right, what they do, their literal, like, what their competency is, and the same thing down the line.
Correct. And it's not only highest billable. I mean, there are missions with these nonprofit organizations that are supporting the entire population. So there are strategic elements related to the care that we factor in. So it doesn't have to be purely
about I used it from the standpoint of like a private doctor. Yeah. If you were looking from that perspective, it'd be more about less money wasted and spent in better use cases
rather than how do we really maximize the resources we have.
Yep.
If we have a high no-show risk, for example, that's coming in 2 weeks, why don't we try and gently direct them to the walk-in clinic we've built just for this case? So whenever they want to come in, we're here for them, but we don't have to reserve.
So you're telling me I just got put in the walk-in? Is that what you're saying? Your machines and your great humans just pushed my ass into
the chiropractic walk-in. Chiropractic walk-in is all yours.
I will happily take my chiropractic walk-in.
I'll see you there.
You'd be standing right next to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, but you know, you'll be looking at all your apps on your iPad, making sure the business is running. So that'll be fine.
That's right. And
so the next level on this then goes into sort of how do you guys actually make money on this? How do you scale this and continue to grow? Shed a little light on where you are as a business and where you plan on going, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah, it does. So how we scale this is by continually providing value to our clients and helping them achieve their goals of efficiency and supporting their entire, what they call patient panels, but their entire population. If we do that, the business is going to grow aggressively and the rest will take care of itself.
Yep.
The way we work with our clients is either on a subscription basis based on the number of physicians that they employ and we're optimizing for, or based on some sort of gain share agreement, because the analytics identify tremendous opportunity for them and we partner with them to solve it.
Can I ask you a question on the sort of gain share model? We kind of dally on this all the time because obviously at Technori we've got the show and we've got the showcase and stuff, but like having worked with tons of startups and us working on the back end business lines that we're trying to offer, it becomes very common that we're offered some sort of a profit share because we've got a big audience. And so the obvious thought is like, oh, you know, why would we pay you money, Technori, when we could just split revenue with you? And I was just curious, what are the deciding metrics for you when you decide whether, no, you're on the subscription model, it's perfect, or you personally think, based on the metrics and all of your background and history, that you're going to be able to make as much or more money being on a rev share?
It comes back to the pure partnership between you and the customer. In this case, if they're aligned with you and you can agree on metrics that you both feel are impactable and tangibly display value, then it makes a lot of sense. If there's anything soft around those things, it becomes a very difficult relationship. It can spiral into a more of a tense conversation, and that's not the kind of partnership you want.
That's what heads for us too, is we always look at, and this is the same thing I talk to a lot of the founders that we talk to on the show with, is I feel like what incentivizes them to sell you over them? If you have to sell something that is in any way, shape, or form a stretch for them to sell, it's not going to work. It's got to be something that you complement what they have and they complement what you have. And without each other, you know, we're just less valuable.
Yeah, a natural alignment has to be there. And there has to be trust on both sides that you're after the same
goals. The hardest part, of course, is trust. It always ends up being trust because, you know, how many times you felt like you're selling them and they're not selling you and you're... Yeah.
And we're fortunate to have some great partners, and candidly, health systems want to solve this problem and they're looking for partners to really help them do this. And so we've been successful in partnering with our clients, whether it's in a subscription-based model or a fee, you know, a gain share type of model. We're just making sure that the value is there, and ultimately that will dictate how far the company goes.
What is the next step, next place for Upfront? And when I say that, I mean... you know, how many markets you're in now? Chicago's the obvious, maybe the heaviest market, or are you just, you're everywhere and it's just a matter of signing up as many panels as you possibly can?
So we're not everywhere. We hope to be soon.
Yeah.
We have...
us know where we can send this and we'll help you get everywhere.
We'd love that. Thank you. Is there a gain share involved in that?
There could be.
Okay. Got it. So we work with large health systems across the country. And so we have a good footprint here in Chicago. We've got some in New York and in Wisconsin and California. But we're employing more of a hub and spoke model, given a small company that's growing. And once we identify areas where we can provide tremendous value, we work around that to continue to grow within that same terrain.
Can I ask you a question lastly on this, on just for other companies like you, and I don't mean really even the same thing. It's more just a healthcare. I feel like it's an industry. It's one of the few industries I feel like if you don't have a real extensive background in it, it's very hard to get into, because there's just so many, aside from the bureaucratic tape and the healthcare stuff and the insurance and all this other, there's just a lot of sort of old industry standard, how we do things kind of way. So what would be your recommendation to anyone who's entering this sort of landscape as to how to get themselves in to a hospital or into a system? How would you sell your product? You know, you're using the hub and spoke. I think it's obviously is a great strategy based on the industry you're in. What would be your advice to anyone who's trying to get in? From a sales standpoint, I'm
from speaking. A sales standpoint, trying to get in. Well, you need to have the expertise at that early of a stage, because the health system has fatigue around the number of vendors that come to them every single day. And there's just a ton of people coming to them saying that they've got the new app or new thing that's going to solve all their problems. And so if you don't have the expertise and the domain knowledge as you go in, you're not going to get far. Because what they really want is establish that trust and the fact that you know what you're talking about. And they don't expect you to be perfect at the beginning, but they do expect you to iterate your way there and to know more than they do about the topic you're trying to solve. If you can't demonstrate that, you're not going to have the kind of success that you want to have.
Very interesting. Where do people go, businesses, anybody, anyone listening, anyone we send this to, where do they go to learn more about you and learn more about Upfront?
So go to upfronthealthcare.com.
Very cool.
Thank
awesome.
You.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time and coming out here.
Thank you for having me. This was excellent.
Absolutely. You can listen to more stuff by following us on Technori, or following us at Technori on Facebook and Twitter. Check out technori.com. And of course, check out the podcast on iTunes. Boom. That's a wrap.